Salam sejahtera anda bersama saya Rizal Zulkarpi dan ini Pilihan Awani. Kurang dua bulan sebelum ulang tahun setahun Malaysia Baru pada 9 Mei 2019, semakin banyak analisa dan juga perbincangan yang kelihatan di ruangan berita dan juga media sosial mengenai setahun Kerajaan Pakatan Harapan. Walaupun luas aspek yang diliputi, perbincangan banyak tertumpu kepada prestasi ekonomi kerajaan. Dan hari ini, Pilihan Awani menyingkap menjelang setahun Malaysia Baru apa pencapaian ekonomi dan sejauh manakah dasar-dasar reformasi yang disasarkan tercapai setakat ini. Untuk membincangkan bersama kami segala aspek ekonomi negara sejak setahun lepas adalah Profesor Mahendiran Nair. Beliau adalah Profesor Econometric dan juga Statistik Bisnes dari Monash University Malaysia. Dan saya ingin mulakan perbincangan dengan satu kenyataan menarik yang dibuat oleh Perdana Menteri Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad pagi ini di acara Invest Malaysia 2019. Tun dalam ucapannya yang menggariskan pelbagai sasaran kerajaan untuk tahun-tahun akan datang berkata, kerajaan mungkin menyenaraikan beberapa entiti kerajaan di pasaran saham dan mengurangkan pegangan saham kerajaan dalam syarikat GLC yang disenarai awam. Profesor Mahendiran, saya akan teruskan perbincangan dalam bahasa Inggeris. Profesor, we look at Tun M's statement earlier that the government may move to privatize some entities, some state-owned entities, and also what do you make of this?
I think, you know, given the current circumstances where the financial burden on the government is quite high, it makes a lot of economic sense in terms of privatizing and reducing some of the future burden on government. But having said that, I think the privatization that we're talking about is very different from what 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. Because 30 years ago, the markets were very different. Today, the markets are much more competitive, much more agile and more dynamic. So privatization needs to take into account a number of factors. Mm-hmm. Number one, that do we have the right leadership to lead that privatization? Number two is that whether the markets, you know, whether the entities will be able to penetrate both, not just a domestic market, mm-hmm. because the markets are becoming more and more open, take on some of the global players, but also enhance their reach in the regional markets. So again, it depends very much on how the privatization is done, the type of leadership and the market structure that these entities are getting into. Mm.
What can we learn from the first round, first exercise that we did 30 years
sure.
ago?
So one of the things that we've seen is that where the privatization was very successful, both in Malaysia and globally, is that some of the state-owned enterprises, though they were privatized, they received a fair bit of protection from the government mm-hmm. in terms of domestic market and also in terms of you know, priorities and preferences. And as they became more and more competitive, mm-hmm. there was a weaning off process that took place where eventually they became more stronger and had the broader outreach and started standing on their own. Mm-hmm. The question is that whether governments are able to provide that protection in the current market. Mm-hmm. This is something that is needs to be looked at very, very carefully, given the fact that we've got a lot of trade liberalisation, mm-hmm. You know, things that are happening, and protectionism is a big issue. So whether similar things can be done. We've seen that in markets where government were able to wean and help, you know, industries grow stronger, mm-hmm. they've been fairly successful. Mm-hmm. In other places where the markets were very, very competitive and dynamic, those privatised entities are struggling.
Mm-hmm. Should it be done in stages?
I think it has to be done in stages mm-hmm. because that's what, you know, every country globally have done, that they take a staged approach where government, though privatized, provide a lot of support until they can stand on their own. Mm-hmm. It happens, you know, in China, it happens in other parts of the globe.
Okay, and can the government then focus on more important things, like looking after the welfare of the rakyat after mm-hmm. they've maybe, you know, reduce the doing business portion of, you know, the government?
Sure. I think one of the big issues is that while the privatization is you know, has got positive impact, how that is managed is really critical. And I think it has to have a kind of a hybrid approach where, yes, privatization is really important, but you also need to see how government efficiencies could be driven using better technology and, you know, using better systems, mm-hmm. but also looking at as you know, civil servants move up, perhaps reducing the entrance into the civil service, but in the rate of entry into the civil service as opposed to the retirement. Mm-hmm. So in that sense, that over a longer period of time, you're actually able to reduce the civil service, mm-hmm. but with a much more resilient, stronger, and more efficient civil servants. Mm-hmm. So it's got to be a kind of a hybrid approach where areas where you can privatize, you do it, but also you need to drive through efficiency. So it has to be done in stages, mm-hmm. but you've got to use multi-pronged approach, not to frighten, or because it has an impact on consumers mm-hmm. and other sentiments.
How do you think this will impact the consumers?
I think one of the first things that will happen is that a few things that I think the rakyat is really concerned about, even before the election and even at the present moment. Number one is that cost of living. Number two is actually jobs. Mm-hmm. Given the global climate, what's happening globally, dampened demand conditions, firms are cutting back on investments, mm-hmm. people are concerned about jobs, but what's an important stabilizer is actually the civil service. Mm-hmm. So what we don't want to do is actually set panic among the civil servants. The moment I think the market realizes that there is a possible contraction, consumers will start cutting back, mm-hmm. and that's a major dampener on the economy. So we're already seeing the global market demand conditions are much more lower. What we want to do is stimulate domestic consumer demand. So we want to make sure that whatever policies or strategies need to be done in stages, in transition, but have got a multi-pronged approach.
And it has to be communicated well.
It has to be communicated very well in terms of what the long term, but also in terms of the type of transition that needs to happen so that you don't set panic.
Okay, let's take a short break. When we come back, let's talk about the state of the economy right now and how on what we can do to be a bit more resilient moving forward. Tengah berdiri berehat seketika kembali selepas ini. Kembali kita bersama dengan Profesor Mahendra Nair dan beliau adalah Profesor Econometric dan juga Statistik Business atau Perniagaan dari Monash University Malaysia. Prof, let's look at the global economy briefly before we look at the consumers in Malaysia. We've got a lot of uncertainties in the market, in the global economy. You have the China-US tension and you also have the possible US interest rate hikes in the future. How will this impact the progress that we have since May 9th with regards to the economy?
Besides the trade dispute and possibly the rate hike, obviously the rate hike is going to impact on the currency. It's going to put pressure on the currency. Mm-hmm. But we also have other volatility that is, in the market. With the Brexit, if it's a hard landing, that's going to send a lot of volatility within the European market. That is going to impact us. We also have a lot of volatility in the commodity markets. The petrol price is also, fairly volatile. So the global market is fairly volatile. So under those circumstances, global demand is dampened. Mm-hmm. And firms are going to pull back in terms of investments. So all these are going to have an impact in terms of, the growth of jobs, the growth of investments in the economy. We are an open economy. Mm-hmm. We are fairly connected. A lot of our firms are part of the global supply network, and it's going to be impacted. Mm-hmm. But having said that, I think what can be done in terms of dampening that impact. If you see, the standard macroeconomic policy is that when you have a downturn, this is where government plays a major role. Mm-hmm. And this is where the Keynesian type of policy of, pushing,
stimulating the economy
through infrastructure development mm-hmm. programs. And you see that last few months, government has announced back some of the major infrastructure development is back on track, starting to stimulate, obviously, with better cost structures in place. So clearly, stimulating the economy is going to be a major priority. Mm-hmm. Number two is that we also saw that the minimum wage kick in. Mm-hmm. It's to ensure that, the standard of living is not compromised. Mm-hmm. Number three is that, stimulating domestic investments, mm-hmm. Various incentives put in place. But also, I think jobs, as the rakyat is concerned about jobs, is also creating self-employment. Mm-hmm. So besides providing them the additional revenue stream, and the technology platforms today provide you that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So if you see under the last budget, there's a lot of push towards Industry 4.0, new technology adoption, particularly for SMEs. Mm-hmm. Now, if those policies were implemented effectively and firms take advantage of that, the global market, as if you see that the market, while it's global volatile, we are starting to see that the investors are looking at areas and regions and countries where there is value. Mm-hmm. And in spite of the challenge, it's not just in Malaysia,
It's not exclusive to Malaysia.
It's global. Okay. So the investors are going to look at where is the value.
Okay.
And if we can make the economy very resilient, competitive, innovative, value creation, obviously you're going to see the...
But Prof, there are many critics out there with regards to the cost of living and the promises made by the before the election.
Sure.
Is 1 year too short a period to judge the current government? Because I think, you know, there's only so many things you can do in a year.
So I think if you see under the current circumstances, let's look at it globally. Mm-hmm. Then I'll come back to some of the promises. Globally, if you see in terms of 4.9% growth, that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
You look at many developed economies, much more slower growth. But having said that, you know, putting in some of the minimum wage, you know, the bantuan sara, mm-hmm. you know, rakyat, all those measures to dampen the impact. So to some extent, actually, the economy could have been in a worse shape.
Mm-hmm.
But I think with all the stabilizers put in place, they are doing the best under the worst circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 1 year is too short.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to give the time, you know, more time for the government. And also, I think, you know, I don't think they expected the financial position of the economy
mm-hmm.
when they took on. So again, but I don't think that they're going to put their promises aside, but I think it's going to be in stages.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's prudent because clearly you want to signal to the market that you want to be able to ensure that the quality of living is done, you know, is good, but in a prudent way.
It's not just a populist move.
Precisely. We don't want to be in a position like Greece, where, you know, after 5-10 years, you know, you are in a very difficult circumstances.
Mm-hmm.
So you've got to manage the economy in such a way that it dampens the effect, you stimulate the economy, but in a very prudent way.
Okay. Briefly, Prof, what should we look forward to when we reach 9th of May or 10th of May 2019, a year after the major election that we had last year? How should people react to that? And what realistic expectations, if I may say so, should they have in their mind? Briefly.
So I think one of the things that the government can do after 12 months is that to show the growth rates in Malaysia, the level of job creation in Malaysia, particularly in the high value-added job creation. If you see, there is major shortage in Malaysia for high-end value-added jobs.
Mm-hmm.
The type of job creation, business stimulation.
Okay.
It's communicating that effectively that while the rhetoric is one thing, the real data is telling you something else. And I think that communication needs to come out more strongly.
Thank you very much, Professor Mahendra Nair dan Professor Econometric dan juga Statistik Bisnes dari Monash University Malaysia membincangkan berkenaan dengan perkara tersebut. Dan saya rasa kami boleh membincangkan perkara ini lebih panjang lagi dalam masa-masa akan datang ketika kita menghampiri setahun Kerajaan Baru Pakatan Harapan. Dan saya Reza Zulkafli, ini Pilihan Awani. Teruskan bersama kami untuk perkembangan lanjut dalam dan juga luar negara. Salam hormat.